lock and load.
Nobody knew who the hell he was.
Or have lived in a Muslim-majority country. I know because I am one of them.
How's that hokey-changey stuff working out for you?
He's now our president. He's our president.
If we lose freedom here, there's no place to escape to. This is the last stand on earth.
Taking back America, one listener at a time. This is the Bella D'Angelo Show.
Oh, come on. What's so funny, Bella?
What do you mean, what's so funny?
Hey, come on. Something's funny around here.
What did I tell you last show? The giggles were going to come back, and the humor is coming back, and... We got to bring a show back to its original roots. And when I was telling you last time that, you know, I was headed back to North Dakota, I was certain that that was going to be my going back to my home, my country, my people, my native language. And it just didn't work out the way that it did. But they say that everything happens for a reason. I can certainly share some of the oil field stories because it's not what I thought I was going back to, but I'm just really excited. We've now made a lot of headway with the show. We've got the intro music. I think we've got the technology down pat. I don't think we're going to implode anytime soon.
Well, that'll be a first. But yeah, you know, they say you never can go home. And I understand that quite well, being stationed overseas in Italy and Germany and other parts of the world, that you can never go home. You think you can go home, but you can't go home.
Well, the interesting thing, so I lived a really unique experience in a time, and I never knew what I was getting into when I moved out to the oil field. And it was in a time in my life that I really needed a lot of humor and a lot of fun. And I used to always say that when your job doesn't seem like work, you're having an insane amount of fun. And even though I was doing, you know, scrubbing toilets and I had two sales jobs and then in every night doing the show, the interesting part is, and I was talking to my good friend, One Buck, which that's his alias. I gotta throw in here a funny, so, you know, Yoga Hot Pants is thankfully out again. But she was riding around with me the other day. And when One Buck, Ryan called, it shows One Buck on the screen on the phone, and I don't know where she gets this. She says, "Well, hi, One Buck," and then she goes, "One Buck, Two Buck, Three Buck, holler." And I just said, "You know what, honey? I'm gonna leave that there. I don't know where you got that from, but her humor is back, thankfully, because we are just done with our fourth round of hospitalization. But no, the interesting thing was that I had a very unique experience out there. And, you know, the changes and wanting to go back home, the interesting thing about the oil field, and I haven't quite figured it out, but all of the great friends that I had out there, I went out there last weekend, and I went to half the drilling rigs out there, and I didn't know anybody, Joe.
Well, that's the problem up there is it's dying, you know, and I don't know what Biden's doing going over to the Middle East begging for oil, and we have all this oil over here, and we could be drilling, and we could be, you know, the rigs could be working, and, you know, all the old people left because there is, you know, whether they got sick of the government or whether the money dried up, I don't know what the answers to all this, but we're not shipping out there, and they're definitely not shipping here. You don't see the trains coming from North Dakota anymore loaded with oil cars, and, you know, North Dakota is literally sitting on a giant pool of oil, and why is Biden sitting over there in the Middle East, first of all, pissing off the Israelis and then begging from the Saudis to ramp up their production? I don't get it. I just don't understand what the heck's going on anymore. Maybe he doesn't understand what's going on anymore as far as I'm concerned.
Well, it's simple. He's pandering to the far progressive left, and they know what they're... I go back and forth. Is it incompetency? Is it purposeful? All I know is that, you know, I was hell-bent for the oil field. I left on Friday afternoon after getting little Hot Pants moved into her new apartment. And it was just really disheartening to get out there. And I went to rig after rig after rig and didn't see anybody. And then to realize that when I was out there in March, there was way more traffic, way more activity. And here I had this huge, massive job opportunity, But when I was talking to a company man and I said, the problem is when, and a lot of people don't understand this, is when there is a boom, budgets are in play to be able to make changes and bring on new vendors, but it's dead out there. So budgets are tight. They can't make changes. It's really hard. And I experienced the same thing in 2015 when crude bottomed. I left Williston, North Dakota, and I went down to Permian Basin, and I worked in the Midland, Texas area, and then I went up to Oklahoma. And I was afraid I was going to get the same message. We love you. We want to support you. We want to give you some business, but we can't. So it was a good reconnaissance mission to get out there, but all things happen for a reason. And once I got back, Little Yoga Hot Pants had some more issues. We actually ended up in the emergency room last night, and but she's doing great, and I'm excited to start my job next week. But so let's line up the show, because we've got
May Lore. She's going to be the candidate running against Betty McCollum over in CD4 over in St. Paul, that heavy Democrat Irish Hmong district over there. But you know, how amazing is that? That we've got a Hmong lady running as a Republican. And I believe she's got a chance. I believe everybody's got a chance right now in this rock and roll crazy world that we got going on, that anything can happen. And she's coming on. She's going to be talking about, you know, the usual crime, inflation, stuff like that. But we got some other issues going on out there that I would like to get her perspective on. Jill Biden calling Latinos tacos, being that she's a minority herself, you know, and how that would be kind of like a slap in the face of anybody who's a minority. And the other thing, there's a crazy video from her district of a black toddler calling a cop all kinds of vile names when he's trying to execute a warrant, and then tries to punch the cop. And what is going on in this world? We got, you know, where are the parents involved on this? I mean, the only thing I can think, the cop is sitting there thinking, yeah, well, in a couple of years, kid, I'll be seeing you again. I'm pretty sure of that. You know, I mean, it's insane. So we got May Lore coming on. And then, you know, we could talk about the usual hijinks going on. Like I said, inflation's through the roof again. You know, gas is going up. Who knows where that's going to finally top out at, I suppose. And, you know, what's funny is a really comical thing. You talk about the cost of diesel. You know, well, the machines that dig lithium out of the ground go through about 80 gallons of diesel a day. All right, digging. So just one. Now, think about that. Usually for an open pit mine that they've got to dig lithium out, they've probably got about, 200 of those giant trucks, add another, you know, couple thousand, backhoes, this, that, and everything else. They're probably going through anywhere, I would say probably 10 to 20,000 gallons of diesel a day to run all this heavy equipment, so we could power our electric cars. The world's gone crazy, Bella. Just gone crazy.
Well, I was listening to radio earlier today, and I always say this, I'm a bit prednisant, and one of the things that was really encouraging to me today, which is kind of the theme that I've always been saying, is, you know, we're going to get pushed to the point that we're going to finally just say we are completely fed up. And I was listening to Bill O'Reilly, and he was talking to Sean Hannity, and he was talking about the fact that the independents decide the national election. So in 2024, the independents. And even the independents and a lot of the Democrats are finally saying, enough. We don't want this men can get pregnant, transgenderism, you know, high inflation, high gas prices, you know, the fumbling, bumbling, you know, he can't even finish sentences. He gets worse every single day. And it was very encouraging that O'Reilly said, you know, like kind of like we have been saying, that there is optimism coming in 2022 and 2024. And it's what I've been saying all along. At some point, we are being pushed every single day, and it's not letting up. And, you know, for me, I would absolutely love to be up in North Dakota. It was disheartening to me to see that it had slowed down so much. But there isn't this, I mean, obviously there isn't the support from the administration. They only have 30 drilling rigs. They're having a hard time staffing up there. And I think that by probably the fall, it may be eat down to 10, 15. I don't know. All I know is that we are headed for a lot of high gas prices, increasing inflation. What did they say the percentage of inflation was right now? Like 9% or something?
Well, they're saying it's 9.1%, but I'm doing the math myself. And, you know, when you talk about foods up 30%, fuels up 40%, you know, clothing, everything else, you know, the commodities are up 20%. How do you get 9.1% out of that? I mean, my St. Louis Mark math, which, you know, I barely graduated from high school, but I did graduate, and that's all that matters. Think about that one, Bella. Even a doctor who graduates at the bottom of his class still graduated, and he just might be your doctor. You know, I think that's a big lie. It's not 9.1%. Since 9.1% is the crap they're trying to sell us, but there's no way it's 9.1. It's more like 30. You know, your money doesn't buy you anything anymore. I wanted to go out and get a meal at a restaurant. If you can go out to a restaurant and get a meal for under $100 for two people, you know, I'm talking a decent restaurant too. I'm not talking about fast food. You're lucky as hell. You know, I spend every day on diesel in my truck. I'm dropping 125. Last year I was dropping 80. I mean, you know, somebody's going to have to pay that bill. I guarantee you. You know, it's, but there is optimism out there, though. I do see a couple signs out in your neighborhood for Walls and
Flanagan
and Phillips. But then again, I only seen a couple where I don't see anybody else's sign. So maybe less is more. That's a good thing. Maybe people saying, no, I don't want your sign in my yard. I don't know.
Hey, we're coming up to the 8:15 mark where.
And there she is.
I'll let you introduce.
Hello, hello, hello. How are we doing, May? Is this May Lore running in CD4?
That's right. It's May Lore Zhang running in CD4.
All right. Let me get you all the way up. Let's make sure you're coming across loud and clear on the podcast here. Go ahead and tell us a little about yourself.
All right. My name is Maylor Zhang, like I mentioned earlier. I am the endorsed congressional candidate in District 4. I was born in a refugee camp in Thailand and immigrated here when I was 8 years old. I am a St. Paul public school teacher for 20 years and also a real estate broker.
Wow, that's fantastic. Can you tell me real quick which refugee camp? Were you anywhere near Ubon? Or is it Udorn? Ubon? Where was the major base that we had over there? Is it Ubon or Udorn?
Well, it's Ban Vi Nai in Thailand.
Okay.
Mm-hmm. I'm not sure which camp you're talking about, but it's...
No, yeah, we had a major Air Force base during the war up... it's Ubon. I'm positive that now in Thailand. That's where my dad used to fly out if he flew F-4 fighter jets. And I was wondering if you were anywhere near that. Let's get them right down to it. First of all, you're the endorsed candidate, and you're going to be running against Betty McCollum, who's been there for like ever and done nothing.
Right.
And you're a teacher, which, okay, so this defies logic. You're an immigrant. And you're a teacher, and you're running as a Republican. What made you decide that you had had enough?
Oh, there's a lot, but I could narrow it down to a few things because I don't want to, you know, spend an hour talking about why I'm running. But you know, with the three major things that why I'm running, the crime rate skyrocketed in the last few years, our education heading in the wrong direction, and inflation that's impacting families. It's getting, you know, it's making it harder for families to get by. And, you know, I can't just sit here and wait for a miracle to happen. We need someone in District 4 to represent us in D.C. And, well, and our congresswoman isn't representing us. And we need a new voice and someone who can represent us and talk about these issues that are impacting families all across the City 4, Minnesota, and, in fact, all across America.
Let me ask you, so when you say you can't sit back and wait, I mean, what was there an actual, I always like to hear this, was there an actual defining certain moment that made you stand up? Because I know when mine was, but was there something that one day you just suddenly, something just grabbed you and said, this is why I've got to do something?
Well, when I saw a lot, 2 years ago, when I saw all the small business on University Avenue been rioted and burned down, I went to help them clean up, and just seeing all these small business owners crying, house, you know, realizing their dream that they built with their two bare hands has been shattered. And there's nothing that they can do about it. And, you know, my family's been robbed or getting beat up out in the street. And I said, enough was enough. I have two sons. One is in the Navy and one is National Guard. And, you know, at that time he was also protecting Minnesota, making sure that we are being safe. And I said, you know, if my two sons are out there protecting this country, I need to do something. I need to stand up and help and do my part too. And that's when I decided that I want to run for Congress in the 4th District to protect people like me and like you and like everyone else.
So what kind of feedback are you getting from the Hmong community about your decision to run?
It's been very positive. I've done a lot of radio shows and TV. We have a huge a Freedom Fest last weekend, and I met a lot of people, and it's just been very positive, very supportive of my decision, you know, even running as a Republican. And yeah, I have their full support.
Did you grow up Republican conservative?
No, I didn't. I grew up as a Democrat, and a lot of times.
How did I somehow know that? So, okay, I love hearing this. So, what was that defining moment that you said? What made you switch? What opened your eyes?
Honestly, I lived in St. Paul, and I realized, you know, a lot of the people in office are Democrats, and they've been in office for so long, and we're not seeing any changes. We're not seeing any help. And especially, I was talking to my families and friends, and I said, you know, they've been in office longer than the Hmong have been in this country, and we have not seen any changes for us. What are we doing? Wake up. It's time to change. It's not working for us.
Recently there was a video of a young black kid, a toddler, in fact, in CD4 in St. Paul, challenging the police when they're trying to execute a warrant and cursing at them and, trying to punch the cop. Have you seen this video or heard about it?
I have. I've seen it. Yes.
And what is your reaction to this?
You know, I want to be surprised and shocked, but I'm not. As a teacher, I've seen it in my school of, young kids, young students cussing at teachers, you know, hitting, kicking. And it's pretty sad. And this is why I said, you know, I think that we can all agree that if the left wants to push a socialist agenda in our public school system, I think the only social agenda that we should push in is acts of kindness. We really need to teach our kids to learn how to get along, to learn how to respect each other, especially when there's a disagreement that we need to talk it out. But right now, even we see on TV that even adults cannot even, you know, talk to each other when they're, you know, not in agreement.
Well, you know, I saw that video and it was very disturbing. And the only thing I could think of was the cop must have walked away from the situation. And he was very professional, but he must have walked away from the situation going, okay, son, I'll be seeing you in a few years, you know. And, this problem, this crime wave that we got going on in America is just literally starting at home. It's not starting on the streets. It's not. The parents, Kendall Qualls was on, and he's sitting there going, you know, we don't have two-parent families anymore, you know?
Mm-hmm. Well, when you look at the city itself, and I've said this all along, you know, when, like you said, when you saw all those businesses being burned, there was a clear message that was given out when Frey and Walz didn't send out the National Guard. No arrests were made. They let everybody go from a supposed protest to just literal criminal vandalism, destruction with no consequences. And it really sent a message to our youth that was okay. They were emboldened. They were empowered. And then all that time out of school, not working, it really culturally changed the young people in the Twin Cities. And you know, it's going to take a massive effort in Minneapolis, all the way from getting rid of Walz and getting great people in like yourself that can actually make good policy changes, restore the faith in our police department, and start to actually make massive changes that'll start to turn Minnesota around. When you get elected, what would be some of the first things that you would do in office?
Well, definitely that is very important. We need to support law enforcement to make sure that they get the trainings that they get, and also support. We need to build trust. And I know that, I did a ride along with a St. Paul police officer last week, and I've seen firsthand what they do. And I know that they're out there connecting with communities, but we really need to put in more programs for our youth, because right now, you know, they are realizing that it's okay. There's no accountability. It's okay to, you know, commit crimes, but we know that it's not. We need to put programs in place to help our youth, you know, to educate them, to engage them in leadership and, you know, stay in school. Because we need our youth. We need strong leadership, because when they're going to be our future, and we need to feel certain in the future that we have strong leadership that will keep this country intact, and that we have strong leadership to lead this country, because we need it. We don't have good leadership right now in the government.
So how would you get some of these programs put in place for our youth?
Well, we have to work with, there's after school programs. We have rec center, around the cities that we can implement those programs. And we have to get them engaged. Right now, they're not engaged at all. They're either at home, you know, playing cell phone and iPads or what have you. But we need to get them out there, being part of the community, building relationship, building leadership, and get involved. They need to be active.
I couldn't agree with you more. I think that the cell phone generation, you know, is kind of what used to be the TV generation. Parents had just dropped their kids in front of a television instead of actually doing stuff with their kids. Recently, the First Lady referred to Latinos as breakfast tacos, and you being of a minority. How does that make you feel or what is your reaction to that? I mean, you know, it would be kind of like somebody referring to the Hmong community as a hibachi buffet. I mean, what's your reaction to something like that?
Well, you know, I would expect, a higher standard from our first lady. But obviously, you know, something like that breakfast taco, really, you know, it is the most ignorant thing that comes out of her mouth. And when they talk about diversity, they really don't know what they're talking about. They really don't care. But it sounds really good when they say it. But, you know, but when something like this comes out, a statement like this comes out their mouth, we know that they don't know what they're talking about. They don't care about that. They don't care about diversity.
Yeah.
Because they're ignorant.
I'm starting to get that feeling. It's kind of more like the only thing they care about is the cash in their pockets. You know?
Well, they've lost the support of the Hispanic community already, and this isn't going to help them any. I mean, I don't know what the thought process was, but you know, I just
anger. I don't know. She lost. They lost, and so she thought that was going to be something funny, but it isn't. You know.
No, it's not funny.
She obviously, she has no humor. Because it doesn't come out that way. It's very.
She since apologized, but I don't think it went over too well. What are your coming up plans? What are your campaign plans that you got coming up?
Well, right now we're just grassroots. I've been going out every single day, just talking to minority groups within City 4. Today I went to West Side to talk to small business and the Latino community. I was able to enjoy a few hours at the Mother's Tutoring Academy, where this amazing Somali-owned tutoring place with a lot of new immigrant students getting extra tutoring there. So I get to spend a few hours with them. It was really nice. And so that's what I do every single day. I'm reaching out to different communities, talking to them. And I'm not just going there and, you know, say, oh, here I am. I'm actually, you know, getting engaged and, you know, talking to them and say, what are the issues in your community? How can we work together? How can I help you? And that's what I'm doing. That's how I'm reaching out to people.
I got a question. Since you were in the Somali community and since Ilhan Omar was booed off stage in her own district, are you hearing surprising responses from Somalians in that community? And I'm assuming most of them are Democrat. Are they expressing frustration within their own party, or what are you hearing?
Well, I don't hear a lot, but what I know is that, you know, they're very much like the Hmong people. They're very conservative in their values, but, you know, they're voting Democrats. And I think that what we need to do is educate and really engage in the community and for them to understand what we're all about. Because what they know about the Republicans is on TV, CNN, you know, MSNBC and say, oh, they're like the racist bunch, but we're really not. You know, they're all about family, their faith, and they're hardworking people. And we need to get that across them. And I think that when we engage in a conversation with them, they understand that. And they're like, we are conservative. And I said, yes, you are. And so we just need to reach out more and engage them in communication.
What, do you have any debates or anything with Betty McCollum scheduled, or is this, or are you going to primary or anything like that? What is the future hold in your campaign here?
Well, I do have two primaries that are going against me in August, but I'm very confident that I will win the primary. And Betty has her own trouble on her own side. You know, even her party think that she's out of touch and they want to boot her out. And so we'll see how that goes after the primary. If she ended up winning the primary, I definitely would like to have a debate. I know that her opponent is, you know, calling her out, wanting to debate her, and she's not responding. And so I don't think that that will happen. But, you know, after the primary, we'll see how it goes.
Wow, that speaks volume. Yeah, because the same thing is going on with Ilhan Omar, is that a lot of these Democrats that are in office are just not coming out of their turtle shells, and they're hiding from the... I think you know, with what's going on in the state of the nation, you know, with like, you know, inflation, crime and everything else. It's like, what can they come out and say? Well, you know, what positive message do they have? And I don't think they have anything. So they're just basically, you know, like I said, they're turtle shelling.
They're not even talking about these issues, education, crime, inflation. These are actually bipartisan issues, and they're not willing to address these. She's not willing to talk about it. And that I think that's why people are sick and tired of her. She's silent about this, you know, 2 years ago when there's rioting and business burning down. Right now, inflation, she's not talking about that. Education, she's not talking about that.
Well, of course she can't, yeah. Because in order for her to talk about it, she has to then actually identify the problem where it's coming from. And they've created it. They've created this entire purposeful destruction. And it's what I've been saying for a long time. It's imploding on them because everyday Americans that are paying at the pump, paying at the grocery store, they're waking up. Earlier in the show, I was talking about the fact that the independents who really make a big impact on the national presidential election are fed up. And the reality is, you know, this is not what they voted for. Nobody voted for damn near $5 a gallon gas, you know, 9% inflation, which that's low. You know, people are making hard decisions about can they buy food or gas? Can they get to their job? Can they go on vacations? I mean, it's a complete nightmare and it's a disaster. And, you know, nobody's coming forward with anything other than smoke and mirrors and trying to just distract and talk about a bunch of crap. And, you know, like I've said, Biden continues to flounder more and more every single day. And where I see this country is that a bigger awakening is happening than even in 16. And you hear people all over talking about the pain that they are suffering. And we don't have to work as hard, activists like myself, Joe, yourself, getting people to look and see what is happening. And when the Democrat Party doesn't even want Biden to have anything to do with 2024, they don't have any fresh face. They don't have any fresh policies to come forward with. They have to ditch and hide from what's really going on in this country because they've allowed it. You know, all they have to do is open up drilling. All they have to do is open up drilling, and that would be the beginning of turning around this country. Let me ask you something, because I like to ask all my guests that come on, and then we'll let you share where everybody can find you, get behind your campaign and your next upcoming event. I'd like to know your thoughts about the midterms and then also 2024 election.
Well, I think that we have a very, very strong chance of, you know, taking over the House and the Senate. And 2024, I think with our choices in the Republican side, we have really strong candidates that I know that will be very candidates for presidential. And I don't know who they have, but it's looking very positive. And we just have to, you know, keep talking about the issues that really impact families all across America.
Like I said, where can we donate money and stuff like that?
Yeah, so you can go to my website. It's May4MN.com. That's May4MN.com. So you'll find more information. I have a great video there, and you can also donate there too. And if you like to volunteer, you can fill out your information.
Awesome. We really appreciate you coming on. We'd like to have you come back on and tell us where your campaign is. And by the way, you can find the show, and I hope you promote us, thebelladeangeloshow.com is the website. And then this podcast has actually, we've really matured. We're on every platform for podcasts. So Amazon, Spotify, iHeart, the list is endless. All you have to do is Google podcasts and all platforms were found on there.
Okay. Thank you so much. Thank you so much for having me on tonight.
Yeah, we really loved it, and before the general election, we'd love to have you on again, and hopefully you'll be able to give us an update that you were able to pin Betty down and get her to have a conversation with you. And, it may sound like we're dreaming, but it really would. Once again, thank you for coming on, May. All the best. Anything else, Bella?
That's it. We love having you on. Thank you.
Thank you. We'll be talking soon.
Yes.
Bye. Well, what'd you think of that?
I think she's a great candidate. I think she's really got some, isn't it interesting how many people that we have here in the state of Minnesota, like Tom DePell, all these people that are coming forward, business-minded, non-establishment, and they're really gaining traction.
Well, the amazing thing about that is that she was a teacher, too. And you find me a Republican teacher immigrant. She might be the only one in the whole damn state.
Well, that's why I asked her if she grew up. I knew she didn't grow up Republican. My family is all Democrats, and they have been, most of them were school teachers, including my mom. My mom was a school teacher, Little Yoga Hot Pants, but she's an independent. And, something told me that she had made a life change, and, you're hearing it more and more and more and more because their storyline is falling through.
Well, you take a look at Cicely Davis. I mean, there's another one, the black lady, Democrat, came up, and then all of a sudden she realized, no, this is not right. And now you got Maylor, and like you said, and we're just one little area in this giant, beautiful country, and you got to wonder how many different places this awakening is happening, and that's got to scare the living out of the freaking Democrats. Oh, I've been so waiting to use that button.
I was wondering when you were going to break and use that button, which, by the way, I wish I had that button last night. I just want to tell this story because I know people have been missing Yoga Hot Pants, and we got to lighten it up a little bit, and I got to laugh a little bit because, Joe, you haven't met Yoga Hot Pants.
Yeah, I haven't. Matter of fact, I haven't met too many people, period. I'm kind of new to this game.
Well, a lot of the listeners, especially the regulars, know Little Yoga Hot Pants. And I had something happen last night that literally shook the ground right out from underneath me. So this is my 85-year-old Little Yoga Hot Pants that she's been hospitalized 3 times within 10 weeks. Okay. And she rides around with me for 7.5 years. She's been riding around with me in my pickup truck as we get out and do our chores and do our things. And, a lot of the phone conversations for the show, setting up the show, the guests all happen in that truck. And she's in that truck and she's giving her comments and she's famous for rolling her eyes. I remember one time Michael Southerner called to me, and he's one of these, Q people that's convinced that Trump was coming back in this summer and that Biden's wearing a mask and, the whole White House thing is orchestrated. And he was really going after me, trying to get me to be convinced and believe that this was happening. And Little Yoga Hot Pants was actually sitting over there rolling her eyes. And she actually said to Michael, I don't even think you believe everything that you're telling us. I mean, just sharper than a tack. And, to my surprise, Joe, I went and bought her a recliner chair yesterday, had it in the back of the truck, pulled up to her new facility, which, by the way, she just moved in on Friday. She just moved in on Friday into her own facility, okay? She's not even there a week. And, Joe, I pull up in front of the apartment. It's Bella D'Angelo show.com. I pull up in front of the apartment last night and I get the recliner on the dolly. We get into the apartment and I've got one of the tenants coming running after me, the Bella D'Angelo Show.
Oh, .com. All right.
He's texting. He's a poor multitasker. Okay, he's doing this during the show, and I'm trying to get his attention about the story about yoga hot pants because, Joe, this has never happened before. She never leaves that truck. And again, God bubble wrapped and put a bubble wrap around her because, Joe, I walked down the hall to go get her. And one of the residents was running towards me and he said, your mom fell. And I was like, she's in the truck. She actually left the truck last night on her own. I don't know what got into her head. Walked around behind the truck, went to walk up to the front of her unit, grabbed the bench for stability, and was already in a crouched position. So she somewhat soft landed, fall on the side, but she hit the back of her head.
Ooh.
On the brick colonnade right at the front.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, we just got out of transitional care last Friday. There is a point to the story because I know that there's a lot of people that have been praying for her, and it worked again. Because at 85 years old, to take a landing like that with a bite in the back of her head. And so we raced to the emergency room. And she got some stitches, but she her CAT scan and everything was clear, and her X-ray. So today we were riding around again, and anyways, she again wants to know how to be able to watch and listen to the show, not watch, listen to the show. Which again, everybody can find us now. We finally made it to all of the podcasting platforms.
We are now somebody. You remember the show, The Jerk? Do you ever see the movie The Jerk with
Steve Martin?
Steve Martin?
Yeah.
Yeah, the new phone books are in. We're somebody. Yeah, what do you live on? Like 78, 12, 1/8 Street or something? Like that. We're somebody. Woohoo! You know?
It's about time, and we've only been working on it for how long. But I just want to give a shout out to everybody that prayed for Yoga Hot Pants because it worked once again. Because I literally yesterday morning went from bouncing off the walls because she's doing so good. I mean, considering she survived sepsis and pneumonia and then took the digger on the sidewalk yesterday, about lost my mind. So anyways, we're going to get her back on the show because the story is, it falls in line with what we're hearing. Lifelong Democrat, common sense Democrat, registering as independent and increasingly fed up with this, you know, to call him an administration is a gross, you can't even call him an administration. You know, it is absolutely a circle jerk.
No, that's a pretty good way to put it. Do I need to use a beep on it? This, you know, just a little bit late. Circle jerk. You know, I don't know if it is, but yeah, that's... That's putting it mildly. I mean, you can't get a straight answer out of these guys, you know. And, oh, wow, you know, I've now figured out what they're doing in Ukraine. That has got to be the biggest money laundering scheme. We're going to spend like $800 billion in there that we don't have. And we're sending all these high-tech weapons over there that we don't know where they're going. And we have no oversight on this. And Biden was asked today, he said, well, how long are we going to keep supporting? And he says, well, as long as it takes. Well,
that was his answer. How long are gas prices going to remain high? As long as it takes. I mean, but that's why I say that, you know, the perfect storm couldn't have gotten any more perfect for what needs to happen in the midterms. I had a conversation the other day with a gentleman. This is what I tried calling you about the other day, and I know you've been really, really busy, but I had a conversation. I want your thoughts on this. A conversation with another podcaster, okay? He believes that not only will we not be able to win any election in 2022 and 2024 because none of the machines have been changed. And I said to him, there's been election fraud in every election, but what happened in 2020 cannot happen again. The fear of COVID is not there, so the mail-in voting isn't going to happen, and the steal has been exposed. He believes that we're going to come under complete military control, and there's going to be no food, no, you know, just the complete gloom and doom. And I that's why I called to ask you, is this a Q follower, or where did they get this radical belief?
Come on.
Because listen, if that happened, no food in our military, I mean, three-fourths of the, no, not even more than that, 99% of the population would diminish because nobody's prepared to live through anything like that.
They said that if that actually happened, society would cease to exist within 16 days. And I believe that. But that the reason why that can't happen, there's actually a reason why that can't happen. We have so many checks and balances. And it's not a reality. There have been companies that have made fortunes off of head cases like this, that they sell these survival shelters, you know, where, and, you know, prepare, buy this food.
FEMA trailers.
You know, and no, the Chicken Littles of this country, you know, really, they can go themselves. I wanted to use that again. That's not what we need in this country. We don't need people sitting there saying, hey, the country's coming into an end tomorrow. What we need is real leadership getting up there and doing what it takes to make the tough decisions and taking responsibility for their actions. You know, one of the biggest things, everybody says, hey, what can we do to solve all these issues? And they're talking about, well, we could drill for more oil. We could do this. We can do that. You want to know the real thing we can do to change everything in this country? Freaking term limits. Term limits, period. Term limits. And, you know, get these people going back to being civil servants instead of being, you know, crime bosses. I mean, literally, the mafia has got to be jealous as hell of the people that are running our country, because they have literally a license to steal. And it's not only that they're stealing our money, but they're stealing our children's hopes and dreams. And so we got to hold these people accountable. And I think that's what awoke the passion of Trump awoke in 2016. And I think, like you said, everybody is reaching that point well beyond what they did in 2016 and saying,
yes,
I have had enough. You know, remember that great line when the guy threw the television out the window? I'm as mad as hell and I'm not going to take this anymore. Guess what, folks? We're getting mad. We're not going to take it anymore. But as far as a military coup and takeover, no chance. It's not going to happen.
Well, I knew that. I tried calling you the other day to say, you know, is this a Q person? Because like I said earlier, that Michael Southern that had called, and, you know, that belief that Trump was going to get in before 2024, that's Q following stuff. But
I don't even know who this Q is. The only Q I ever saw was on Star Trek, and he was kind of a whack job.
Which one was Q on Star Trek?
Remember, he was the dude, the god that came, would show up every once in a while and say, hey, this is the way it's got to be. And, you know, he was a real...
Was he like the albino-looking guy? Or what am I thinking of?
No, that's Data. No, Q was on The Next Generation. And where did they come up with this? You know, I think it's like probably like 5 or 10 people in this country that, you know, just... It's kind of like Twitter now. Boy, did Musk screw over Twitter or what? Oh, my God. Think about it.
Where is it even at right now?
He's saying, I'm not going to buy you until you give me the data that I wanted, which is what he wanted all along, was to expose Twitter for being the fraud that it is.
And then isn't Twitter trying to sue him now that he's backing out?
Right, which means they're going to have to give him the data that he wanted all along, because if they go to court, so he's got him boxed in. Either way, they lose, which is what he wanted all along. And it's a beautiful thing. It really is. It's you cannot make this up. First of all, never mess with somebody who has more money than God and a sense of humor.
I You know, I just, you know, that when you asked me in the beginning of the show, why am I laughing? A lot of relief. First of all, you know, God bless and thank you, Lord, for bubble wrapping my mom. But when you look at this country and when you look at the fact that they were so emboldened, so embrazened, you know, the sheer just self-bloviated, you know, Kamala and all of them that, you know, that what they were saying about the independents was that the independents voted for him because they were pissed at Trump. But what we've been saying is the boiling point is getting to the point where, and I was talking about this earlier, I was actually at the gym swimming some laps and I was asking the gentleman swimming next to me how high he thought gas was going to get. Now, can you imagine the boiling point that we will be at in November if the predictions are coming true? There are no reserves. Biden did not sign the offshore drilling, the first president that has not re-signed it since 1953 when it was created. They are making predictions that crude oil will hit $200 a barrel, which will shove gas near 6 to 7, if not higher, a gallon at the pump.
Oh, yeah. You know, that's where we're headed. And, you know, he's sitting there going to the oil companies. Well, you know, come on and, you know, help me out. You know, I'm looking really bad here. But, you know, let's sell a whole bunch of our strategic reserve to China, to the company where my son sits on a frickin' board. How is that not nepotism, treason, whatever you want to call it? I don't know. I mean, when is the country going to go, you know what?
Midterm.
I hope we make it to midterm, but, you know, I'm a positive-minded person, but...
Wait a minute. You just said no gloom and doom. So what...
All right. Well, no gloom and doom.
No. Let me ask you, though, if you're going to say if we make it, why wouldn't we make it to the midterm?
What I'm worried about when I'm talking about making it to the midterm is I really think the economy is about ready for one of those crash moments. And I do mean that, a crash moment like 2008 where we're all of a sudden we're going, oh, shit. And sorry about using my language there, but...
You meant to do this.
Okay, yeah, we're backdating that one. But...
Okay, so let me ask you this, because in 2008, that was right before I went to the oil field, and I'm about to start a new job selling diesel. Now, my justification of taking this position is that they're always going to need diesel, and we can price fixing on this diesel. So to me, being in the energy sector, I thought was a pretty good opportunity, even if the economy does crash pretty hard. Wouldn't you agree?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, fuel and food are the two things that everybody needs, you know. I mean, I'm the thing about this economic collapse that I'm talking about isn't just going to be in the United States. I think it's going to be worldwide. And we're going to see some pretty ugly moments coming. But will we survive as a species? Yeah, of course we will. Will America survive? Of course we will. And hopefully, you know, we can get the people in office that can start holding some of these other people accountable. Like, there's all kinds of hearings. I think they're terrified of Republicans taking over, because then we get all the committees. And when we get the committees, guess what's going to be on the top of everybody's agenda? Hunter Biden's laptop. And oh boy, oh boy, oh boy, we gonna have some fun then. I mean, there's a picture going around on Facebook that shows him lying on a couch and he's got like 6 underage girls.
Yeah, I saw that one.
You know, now I don't know if that's true or not. And
right.
Let me put it this, alleged underage girls. I don't know. I don't know if it's real or not. All I know is that what I have heard is that they said stuff on that laptop is very damning. And we shall see. But on that note, folks, we are coming up to the end of our show here. So once again, Bella, talk about everywhere we can find this damn thing.
So the BellaDeAngeloShow.com, and it's Bella, B-E-L-L-A, D'Angelo, D-A-N-G-E-L-O, show.com. It's on Spotify. It's on, if I could grab my phone. It's on Spotify. It's on Amazon. We're going to have a YouTube channel, Audacity. Basically, any podcast platform, you will now finally find the show.
So we are actually going professional. You know, that's pretty cool. You know, I've always wanted a radio show. You know, I got something that, since I started helping Bella do this, you know, you sit there and listen to radio hosts. I have a whole new respect for radio hosts because we do this for 1 hour, all right? And you have to come up with 1 hour of content. And I got to admit, you know, now you listen to these people that do 3 hour, 4 hour, 5 hour shows, and wow. You know, wow.
Hey, as long as you bring it up, and here's the thing. That's why show prep should be longer than a phone conversation driving down the road, because now maybe you're starting to realize, because here's the difference. Here's why North Dakota, and I say this all the time, I give back to those that give me so much. When I moved out there, Joe, I moved out there for a job. I didn't know that I was walking into the good old boy network. I don't know why there were so many amazingly cool, great, funny, down-to-earth, salt-of-the-earth guys. It was a unique time, and I can't go back to it because they're not there. Most of them retired. But collectively, they helped build the show. And so when I would come in, I simply reiterated my day. That's why the effort will continue to grow with this show as we get to know each other and we get in sync and chemistry and all those things, and it'll grow and it'll build. Because I've said this all the time, people don't realize how much work goes into producing a show. I feel that I'm somewhat naturally fitted for it because I never really think twice about what I was ever going to say when I did the show back in the day. It's a lot more work here in the cities because, as I said to you one of our first meetings, people aren't that funny. I mean, and the oil field humor that I would love to bring to the show, I don't think people would really get the oil field humor.
Nah, not any more than they'd get truckers humor, you know. But, you know, listen, they all live in their own little micro world, and, you know, and that's the problem, is that their little micro world is being encroached upon. Their micro world is, you know, hey, go work Monday through Friday. You know, spend time in the evening with their kids, help them do their homework, and they grill on Saturday, you know, baseball games, softball games, basketball games, whatever. And that's basically the American dream, drink a 12-pack with the fellas and watch a football game. And now all of a sudden that's not happening. Nope. Because they can't afford that 12-pack, or, you know, they can't afford to get their kids into a traveling league, which, you know, used to cost, you know, $50 for a season. Now it's $400 for a season, you know. You got to sit there and think, $400. So, all right, we are coming to the close of the show. What else? You got some final thoughts?
Well, we've got Tom DePell, who we did the show last week, but it didn't show up. So if anybody's listening to last week's show, the audio, we had issues. We had technology issues. That's why we got everything set up. So Tom DePell, who is running for state senate, is going to be on the show next week. I am reaching back out to Scott Jensen and Matt Burke to have them coming up on the show next. And as I say, the show is going to continue to grow and continue the content to get even better and even more humor, because I swear I'm going to break into that bubble of yours and find a little bit of that borderline oil-filled humor that you can bring. I know you got it.
Oh, yeah. Hey, listen, like I said, I spent 7 years in the 82nd Airborne. Well, some of us in the 173rd Airborne. Trust me, I got humor that, you know, this is the way it is in my world, is that there are two kinds of people, those who jumped out of airplanes and those who didn't, you know. By the way, Airborne School, quick joke. The first week they separate the men from the boys, second week they separate the men from the fools, and on the third week the fools jump. So anyway, hey, listen, we got to call it a night, folks. Bella, say goodnight, everybody.
Goodnight, everybody. God bless. God bless America. And ciao for now.